Here we are, the start of our fall program. I want to start out with this cute little story about a financially comfortable father deciding to take his son to the country with the purpose of showing him how poor people live, so that his son could understand the value of things and realize how fortunate they were. They stayed overnight in a very humble family's farm for one day and one night. And as the trip ended and during their return home, the father asked his son a few questions. "So what did you think of the trip?" "Oh, it was great, Dad." "Well, did you see how poor and needy people have to live?" "Yes." "Well, and what did you learn?" "Well, I saw that we have one dog in the house. They've got four. We have a huge swimming pool in the backyard. But they've got a river that never ends. Our backyard ends at the fence. But theirs goes on and on to the horizon. Especially though, Dad, I saw that they have time to talk to each other and to live as a family. You and Mom have to work all day, and I hardly ever see you both." And as the conversation ended, the father remained silent. And his son added, "Thanks, Dad, for showing me how rich we really could be." I love that story. Love that story. And so we're starting today a journey that into thriving, not just surviving. And that's our fall program. Again, we're on this journey for the next 8 weeks together, where we're going to really take a look at what does it mean to really thrive. Now, notice it doesn't say get rich rather than be poor. And it doesn't say get more stuff rather than being satisfied with what you have. No, it's about thrive, you know, developing the consciousness in which you can thrive no matter what's going on in the world around you. And so it's about our attitudes, our beliefs, our feelings. It's about where our priorities lie. And so let me ask you a question. Would it be okay with you if your life got easier? Good answer. Would it be helpful for you to know that everything you would ever need or want is already yours? You already have it. Wouldn't that be helpful to know that? But you may have to change how you think. And you may have to change, you know, and become more aware of what you're thinking, what you're doing, and what you're talking about. You know, there's some work to do here. Thriving, not just surviving. It's a great theme, isn't it? And it's based on the book Spiritual Economics. We're using this book and we'll be studying. We have small groups, spiritual connection groups happening throughout the area. People will be starting tonight. We'll be getting together in small groups, talking about this material, talking about the Sunday lesson, questions and a study guide. And so you want to pick up a book and start reading. If you're not in a spiritual connection group, we have four left with a few spots in it. So you can sign up, find out if there's a day or time good for you. Sign up out in the atrium at the Welcome Center. Pick up a study guide. You can download it from the website. I'm asking you, if you're computer literate, please go to the website, download the study guide, and bring it to your small group. Or do it as a self-study. Find a friend. Maybe do it with a friend if you're not in a spiritual connection group. But if you don't have access to a computer, you don't know how to work a computer, we've got study guides. Go, Pat Smith has them in the bookstore. Pick up a study guide. But Eric Butterworth wrote this wonderful book. And Eric is an author of, I think, some of the books that are the most clearest in our unity principles. And he's also the former minister of one of our largest unity churches in New York City, they used to meet at Lincoln Center. But spiritual economics, I think, is a very timely subject, don't you, considering what's going on in the world today? You know, we're hearing a lot about the economy lately, aren't we? We're hearing about, layoffs and potential layoffs, businesses closing, foreclosures, bankruptcies, people drowning in credit card debt. It's a very interesting time in which we live. But we, as human beings, we have over here our church, our spiritual life, spiritual principles. And then way over here, we've got our money, our job, relationships, our career. When really, it's all one. It's all one. We need to bring them together. It's all spiritual. Because our basic unity principle is that, say it with me, God is omnipresent, everywhere present. Everywhere present. So God is on the job. God is in our relationship. God is in our money. And I hear people, I've heard that people say, well, she talks about money too much. Sort of like saying she talks about God too much. Because it's all one. God is everywhere present. And so that means God is in our money. Jesus talked about prosperity and money more than he talked about healing and prayer, if you read your Gospels. He talks about leaven and seeds growing and this whole abundant universe. And so we need to get comfortable with realizing that God in our money is green God energy. That's all it is. God's in our money. God's in this church. God's in our home. God is everywhere. There's no place that God is not. Nowhere. Myrtle Fillmore. We don't quote from Myrtle enough. She's really the heart and consciousness of the Unity movement. And in her book, Unity was co-founded by Charles and Myrtle Fillmore. And in her book, How to Let God Help You, she writes, begin now to talk plenty. Think plenty. Give thanks for plenty. And she goes on to say, the spiritual substance out of which visible wealth comes is never depleted. It is right with you all the time. It will respond to your faith in it. It will yield according to your demands upon it. It is never affected by your ignorant thought talk about hard times. But you are affected because your ideas govern your demonstration. The unfailing resource is always willing to give. It has no choice in the matter. It must give, for that is its nature. So pour your living words of faith into substance, and you will be prospered though all the banks in the world shut their doors. Interesting premonition, prophecy. It almost happened. You know, turn the energy of your thought upon plenty ideas, and you will have plenty, no matter what people are saying. No matter what. And so there is this ultimate, absolute reality, this creative energy that has been with us from the very beginning of creation. And Charles and Myrtle Fillmore called this substance. And it comes from the Latin word substare, which means to stand underneath. And so it supports us. It stands under everything in the world, in the universe. Substance, this invisible realm. It's the energy of all life. It's expressing everywhere. Everywhere. God, one presence, one power. Omnipotence, all-powerful. Omniscience, all-knowing. Omnipresence, everywhere present. It's in and through all of life. It's infinite, unlimited, never ending. It's always with us. It's always with us. Eric. It was Eric Butterworth. Yeah, it's infinite. There it is. The energy of all life, infinite, unlimited, eternal, never ending. Eric Butterworth writes, get it into your consciousness that you live in substance as a fish lives in water. Does the fish ever ask, where am I? What is this stuff I'm swimming in? But we constantly ask, where's God? Well, we're swimming in God. We're swimming in it. It's everywhere present as an energy, as substance, standing underneath everything in the universe. And so we live in this ocean of God, in the allness of God, in a consciousness of God. We live and move and have our very beingness in this presence. There's no place that it's not. And so if we live in this presence, how can we ever lack for anything? Can you ever lack divine ideas, creativity, opportunities, which include health, wealth, happiness, everything you need, even money? We live in this sea of God substance. And Eric writes, the important thing is to hold to the awareness that you are created in substance, you are formed by substance, and ceaselessly supported by substance. It's, where is it? Everywhere present. Everywhere present. We are the activity of God expressing as us, and we swim in that sea. Now, Charles Fillmore said in his day, said something that was extremely shocking. It's really quite shocking to us today, even. He said, it is a sin to be poor. When we know that God is everywhere present, that we live in this ocean of God's substance, it's a sin to be poor. Now, sin is just an archery term. It means missing the mark. That's all it means. And look what it kind of ballooned and mushroomed to mean. I mean, it's kind of absurd. But it was when it got trained. The word that's used for sin in the Bible in Greek was the word was sin. And it's an archery. You go to the range and you shoot your arrow down. If it doesn't hit that little bullseye, someone down there yells, sin. You made a mistake. Try again. All it means. So it's a sin to be poor. It's not that shocking when you know what sin is. And so what Charles Fillmore was trying to teach here was that when you live in the sea and ocean of God consciousness, God's substance, then the entire universe is pouring through you with its abundance of life and substance. If you get out of the way, this substance will flow through you. And if you're experiencing lack of any kind, it means that you're blocking the flow. That's all it is. You made a mistake, and you blocked the flow. Because no one can keep your good from you but you. And that's the good news and the bad news. You know, bad news is that you blocked your good. The good news is it's you blocked your good. You can unblock it. Because the truth is that there's no lack anywhere in the universe. Ever. Lack is a state of mind. That's all it's a state of consciousness that we have entered into by mistake. And so, Eric says that the word affluence literally means an abundant flow. It means an abundant flow. It has nothing to do with things or money. Isn't that interesting? To be affluent is to be in an abundant flow of life. Not to have mansions and Porsches and stuff. It's to be in the flow, the divine flow of life. So, I mean, when you're in that divine universal flow, then you will be just flooded with divine guidance, which will show you the what to do next. And when you follow that divine guidance, then you will always be led to the how. And I know Beverly loves to hear that, right? Because just follow that guidance. You know, when guidance says, you know, you're ready to start a new journey, take it. Don't block your good. When spirit nudges or sometimes kicks you or shoves you, you go. you go. Even though you're scared to death and you have no idea what's going to happen next, you have no visible means of support, if you got the calling and the urge, you go and you do it. And Spirit will guide you every step of the way. It's all about consciousness, what you believe, you know, what you think, what you're doing, what you believe yourself to be. Eric says that prosperity, the word prosperity, comes from the Latin root, which literally means according to hope, or to go forward hopefully. Again, nothing about money or stuff. We've made that up. But prosperity, and if you were here last week, David Friedman said the exact same thing. He set this series up beautifully. And David said, to prosper is to move forward with hope. So prosperity is not so much a condition of life as it is an attitude toward life. Prosperity is spiritual well-being. It's living at a higher frequency, at a higher level of being. And our life is not shaped, and I know you're going to love hearing this, your life is not shaped by what happens around you or to you. Your life is shaped by how you think and what you do about what happens to you. And so you change your life by what? Changing your mind or changing your thinking. It's our third unity principle. Change your life by changing your thinking. Eric writes in Spiritual Economics that the starting point of realizing prosperity is to accept responsibility for your own thoughts and take charge of your life. You are not responsible for what is said in the Wall Street Journal or what comes out of, now he's writing this in the late 60s, or what comes out of Washington in the form of economic indicators. But you are very much responsible for what you think about these things. You cannot afford to let the so-called experts decide how you are going to think and feel. For how you think and feel about the economy in general and your financial affairs in particular will unvaryingly determine what you experience. Let me say that again. How you think and how you feel about the economy in general and your financial affairs in particular will unvaryingly determine what you experience. Refuse to indulge in casual conversation, or he has in parentheses, should the word be causal, about the bad economy, the high cost of living, or about anything you do not really want to say yes to. Eliminate such thoughts as I can't, I'm afraid, there is not enough. Get that out of your consciousness. Talk only about the things you want to see live and grow. Keep your thoughts centered in the ideas of abundance, sufficiency, and well-being. And then guess what? That will outpicture for you, and you will create that in your life. And so let's affirm together. This is one of my favorite affirmations. Let's say this together. God is my instant, constant, and abundant source of supply. Isn't that great? Let's say it again. With meaning, God is my instant, constant, and abundant source of supply. Not your job, not your employer, not your bank account, not your checkbook. Who? God is your source of everything that you need. And when you let your light and life shine with brilliance and joy and prosperity and well-being and wholeness and love, people will begin to say, what the heck is going on with you? How can you be so happy? And how can you smile when things seem so bad? And they may not understand the spiritual dimension of your practice, but they will notice. And they'll say, how do you do what you do? How are you not worried and concerned? There are spiritual principles. And when we know them and when we practice them, they will make us impervious to the fluctuations of the economy. The economy can do anything it wants to do, but it will not move you to fear or to worry or to tears. Because you know that God is your instant, constant, and abundant supply of anything that you will ever need. And so we together as a collective consciousness, we can be a positive influence to kind of balance out those economic fluctuations. And so what we want to do is we want to anchor ourselves in spiritual principle. And that's what we're going to be doing over these 8 weeks together. We're going to be looking at what those principles are. But there are two practices that I want to introduce to you today, and I would like you to work with them through the 8 weeks together that we have together in this program. Two practices. Now, I want to ask you, you know, are you willing to do some homework? Because it takes work. And are you willing to really use these and put these into practice? Because unity, our fifth principle, is we take this to action. It's practical. But there is work to do, and I know you're ready to do it. So the first thing, the first practice that I would like us to commit to over the next 8 weeks is meditation. Sit in the silence. If God is only experienced in the silence, how do you think you can connect with God if you don't sit in the silence and listen and be immersed in that God substance, that light, that presence that is everywhere present? If you're meditating but you're not meditating every day, then work on, for these 8 weeks, make a commitment to every day. If you're sitting in meditation for 20 minutes, try 30. Deepen. Whatever you're doing, deepen it. Go the next step. If you don't have a regular meditation practice, start one. For these 8 weeks, you can decide at the end of the 8 weeks, if it's not working, then but I guarantee you your life will be totally turned upside down if you agree to these practices. So sit in the silence every day. Keep that regular appointment. Set an appointment. Put it in your Palm Pilot, your day planner, your BlackBerry, whatever calendar you use. Put, 7 a.m. appointment with God. Because when you write an appointment down, you're more likely to keep it. So write an appointment with God. Meditate on the realization you're surrounded in this divine presence that wishes for you only its good because you're expressing its life. Why wouldn't it want you to have only good? Because you're it. It's you. So, of course, it's only good. Infinite mind will source you with ideas, limitless opportunities, creativities, but you can't, if you're so busy, running around and doing your to-do list, you won't get any of that. And you won't know what's yours to do. Inspiring words will flow from your mouth. And the exciting truth is that you will be prosperous and successful in all ways if you don't make it too hard for God. Don't make it too hard for God. When doors open, walk through them. When doors open of those that limitless, inexhaustible substance, sit in it. Relish in it. Love it. The second practice I'd like us to do is to keep centered in the creative flow. Keep positive thoughts flowing. Get some index cards, post-y notes, write affirmations. Find some of your, go through the Daily Word. They've got great affirmations. Find some wonderful affirmations, things that really speak to you. And write them down. Carry them with you. There are a couple that I want to share with you. Let's say this together. God is present at every point in space at the same time. Take that one into meditation. God is present at every point in space at the same time. And so in the universal realm that we live, the whole of God is present everywhere at the same moment, at the same time. Everywhere present. There's no place that God is not. So think, immerse yourself in that. Second thing, let's say this together. The allness of substance is present where I am. You don't have to go anywhere to get it. Right where you are is the allness of substance. So despite the appearance of lack, there's an infinite eternal energy from which all things proceed, so there can never be any lack. It's only perception. So limitless substance will find expression in you as creative ideas, intuition, limitless opportunities. The next one is a good one. Let's say this together. I live in the limitless substance of God, and I am abundant. Now turn away from the appearance of lack. Raise your consciousness to the awareness of the ever-present substance, reality of divine substance, and the faith to turn and mold it into the manifest form that you need in that moment. Substances are always with us. And you can shape and form it into whatever you need in this moment. And the last one I want to share with you, and I love this, together, I am a richly endowed expression of an opulent universe. Look around you. I mean, it's so gorgeous. It's so full of life and beauty. And we live in an opulent universe. And get that into your conscious that you are that expression of the infinite creative flow. And Eric Butterworth, I love, in this first chapter of Spiritual Economics, he says, you are entitled to constant support. The universe owes you a living, not the world. You owe the world a life. But the universe, God, owes you complete support. Complete support. So remember, you live in an affluent universe. Affluent is an abundantly flowing universe. There is no lack. It's only a state of mind. The whole universe is on your side, on the side of success. But and your goal is not to make money or things. Don't have that as your goal. Your goal is to have the consciousness through which the substance will flow when and as you need it. That's what true prosperity is. And when you get yourself centered in this divine flow, through meditation, through keeping your thoughts centered, you know, on positive, life-affirming words, calling forth that into your life, then amazing, amazing, amazing things will happen. And so I'd like to leave you with this final thought of Eric Butterworth in this first chapter of Spiritual Economics. He says, practice the presence of God's substance with diligence and persistence, and you will begin to realize prosperity. Prosperity. So just practice the presence of God's substance, and you will begin to realize true prosperity. So you all received a little green card when you walked in. It's an affirmation card. It says week one on it. And it's green this week. Every week you're going to get a different one. So by the end of the 8 weeks, you'll have eight wonderful affirmations to work with. You'll notice there's a blank there. It says I blank. That's your name goes in there. And so I'm going to ask you to either sign it now or sign it sometime when you get home if you're willing to really embody this affirmation and work with it this week. And then post this somewhere so you can see it and work with it every day. Carry it with you. Let's say this together. I am a child of the universe, richly endowed with the fullness of all good. I, Nancy Worth, am prosperous. Let's say that again. Put your name in there and be bold about it. Let's together. I am a child of the universe, richly endowed with the fullness of all good. I, Nancy Worth, am prosperous. And so it is. That's the truth. God bless you on your journey, the beginning of your journey. Thank you.